Hello, welcome to The Debate. I'm Kavit Afwai. The latest on possible military action on Syria. John Kerry's speech in which he tried to make a case for an intervention. A major defeat for UK's Prime Minister David Cameron, who was not able to get a majority vote of confidence, which may mean a possible strain in ties with the U.S. The U.S., meanwhile, has implicitly stated it reserves the right to strike Syria alone in the name of protecting its national interests without waiting for allies to join or without global approval, including the U.N. France has sided with the U.S. and has even announced possible military action by Wednesday. We'll be discussing Syria in depth in this edition of The Debate, a military action opposed by many across the globe.
The ayes to the right, 272. The noes to the left, 285. Yeah!
Washington losing one of its key partners, the UK government. The United States, which didn't see it come, tried to put on a brave face by repeating its threats against Damascus.
We are continuing to consult with the British, as we are with all of our allies. That consultation includes ways forward together on a response to this chemical weapons attack in Syria.
But this skepticism was not limited to British parliamentarians. American lawmakers also voiced uncertainty about President Barack Obama's war plans. The Congress has already asked Obama to provide concrete evidence in support of its administration's claims that the Syrian government has used chemical weapons near Damascus. Opposition to a possible military intervention has been growing in several European countries, including Germany, Italy, and Austria, which have stepped back from joining a new war waged by Washington. Latin Americans also say they don't want the repeat of another Iraq war fiasco. The rhetoric against Damascus by Washington, London, and Paris has been reminiscent of the run-up to the invasion of Iraq in 2003, when the United States went ahead without any UN mandate.
Britain had engaged in a rush to war on an ill-thought-through basis, not working with the international community, not going through the United Nations. That would have been bad for our country and bad for the people of Syria as well. We must learn the lessons of Iraq about the way we go about any action that we undertake.
Apart from politicians, public opinion in the Middle East, Europe, and the U.S. is against a possible military action.
Because I'm ashamed of my country, that we're going to go bomb another country in the Middle East. The U.S. should just get out of the Middle East. All the U.S. brings behind is death and destruction. It's the United States, which is the most genocidal, murdering regime which has ever existed on the face of this planet. Over
time, President Barack Obama says he has not yet made up his mind about the war, but some are arguing that the U.S. is not in a position to decide on war or peace elsewhere, thousands of miles away from its shores.
We have destroyed so many countries. We have tortured and killed and maimed and raped around this planet. Who in the hell in their right mind would consider the United States or the West in general to be in any position to punish anybody? Never mind the obvious facts that this is a false flag attack.
With the UK off the board, at least for the time being, in the absence of a UN Security Council mandate and fierce opposition by Russia, China, and Iran, it seems Washington is left with a diminishing coalition of the willing. As the opposition continues, the U.S. will have a difficult job to muster a wide-ranging support for any intervention in Syria, or goes it all alone.
Let's find out if this is a war of deception or not. Let me introduce our guest, co-director of the International Action Center, Brian Becker, joins us from Washington. Brian Becker, welcome. I'm sure you heard the speech there by John Kerry and his presser, who continue to make this case for military intervention despite the doubts and questions that exist even at U.S. Congress and Parliament, not to mention some of the generals which are in the army there, and of course its closest ally, Britain. How convincing was this evidence, given the evidence that his predecessor, Colin Powell, presented to the U.N. in 2003 prior to U.S. war on Iraq? Were you convinced?
Well, let me say, first of all, I'm a representative of the ANSWER Coalition, which stands for Act Now to Stop War and End Racism. We're the organization that's been organizing the main protests around the country in scores of cities opposing any new military strike against Syria. Kerry's case was laughable. I mean, you just had to listen to his words a little bit carefully to see how ridiculous they are. He said at one point angrily, that he called the Syrian foreign minister and demanded immediate access to the country for UN weapons inspectors, and then a second later said the UN weapons inspectors report was actually irrelevant, it was meaningless, that the US would be judge, jury, and executioner. There is an effort underway by the US government, a concealed effort to overthrow the Assad government, not because of terrorism, not because of chemical weapons, not because of human rights, but the US wants to destroy any independent nationalist government in this resource-rich part of the world. Chemical weapons are being used again as a pretext, just as they were during the Bush era to invade Iraq, again, a country that was at peace with the United States and not threatening the United States.
Well, let's break this down a little bit further in terms of the intelligence that John Kerry cited so many examples of. Israel was behind this intelligence, which implicates the Syrian government in this suspected chemical attack, which is the same intelligence that the U.S. is using to make their case. What's Israel's role in all of this?
Well, Israel has bombed Syria twice. The Israelis and the CIA have been working together, coordinating this massive weapons shipments from Qatar and Saudi Arabia and Turkey through Jordan that have fueled the civil war. The United States and Israel both felt that the agency of civil war would be sufficient to topple the Assad government. The U.S. and Israeli regime are frustrated that the Assad government has the upper hand militarily. They're frustrated that popular support has made the Assad government actually more stable. They know that only a Western intervention could actually help the so-called rebels, the armed groups that they've been funneling weapons to. So what would be the trigger for an armed intervention? It would be the so-called red line, the use of chemical weapons. The Assad government knew this full well, so why would they, under the circumstances of winning the war, use the one weapon that would be used as a pretext, the trigger, for the NATO or U.S. intervention, the one thing that could decisively turn the tide for the so-called rebels? So the Israelis want all the regimes in the region to be weak, to be unstable, or to be puppets of Western powers, because that allows Israel to pursue its own expansionist aims throughout the region.
Let me introduce Frederick Peterson. He's a Congressional Defense Policy Advisor who joins us from Boston. Frederick Peterson, welcome. Kerry, in this presser, wants to talk to the American people in terms of convincing them, and also the Obama administration, in terms of what they're saying about Syria's involvement, the government there, in a chemical attack. Many protests have broken out across the states, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, to name a few, who are against this intervention. Did Kerry convince you? Are you against this intervention?
Actually, I am quite against this intervention. I think it is immoral, unconstitutional, and illegal. I don't know of any justification outside of ego to support this. And the thing is, you never write a check with your mouth that you're not willing to cash with your guts. And to think that a three-day adventure, antiseptically launched from ships at sea, is going to have an effect and turn the tide and actually play a meaningful part in this civil war is quite wrong. It's wrong strategically, it's wrong tactically, and it's wrong morally. I quite object to this. I think that there is no direct threat to the United States that would justify an engagement of military power in a foreign war here. And it might quite surprise you to hear me saying that. I do have a military background, and I would have to say that there are many members of the military also on active duty and not, who quite agree with me. This is not a popular adventure in which our president appears to be engaging in. In fact, support for his action here has been gauged at about 8 to 9%, under 10% of the American people. I certainly hope that he has time, and I hope that he chooses to recollect himself, and yet the cat is almost out of the bag. He has made major threats. He has, in fact, strategically, this is so wrong. If he did intend to do something, to telegraph in advance what you intend to do, what weapons you intend to use, what targets you intend to engage days in advance, is almost laughable in its absurdity. So the short answer to your question, actually I gave you a rather long one, is yes, I am quite opposed to the engagement of American military power in this illegal, immoral, and unconstitutional adventure.
Well, I do appreciate you giving us that answer.
It serves neither the interest of the United States, our allies, or the people of the region. It is wrong, and I hope that recollection of this proposed action is taken before it is engaged.
Very well. I do appreciate you giving that lengthy answer, given also the fact that I'm capitalizing on your background there, Frederick Peterson, in terms of serving in the Army. And Brian Becker, if we have Frederick Peterson, whom he also cited, some of the generals there in Obama's army are trying to dissuade him from going ahead with this, then it just leaves the question, then what is it that is making way for this? What is Obama counting on? Of course, we can talk about this report supposedly citing evidence that the government, Syrian government, used chemical weapons. But overall, we just heard Frederick Peterson there. Why is Obama pursuing this path of a military, possible military strike on Syria?
Is that addressed to me?
The Obama administration...
Okay.
Go ahead, Brian Becker.
Who are you addressing to? I'm sorry.
Brian Becker.
To me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. The Obama administration is, in fact, trying to degrade the Syrian military. They may not having a decisive strategic blow against the Assad government. They're promising the American people two things. It will be limited, meaning it won't go on forever. And two, that all the bleeding will be done on the Syrian side. It's kind of a promise that they're making the Americans. It won't be like Iraq. There won't be, quote, boots on the ground, meaning and telling the American people who, as your other guest said, by a margin of 90% oppose any operation, that all the bleeding will be done by the Syrians. And they hope that the American people will sort of stay on the sidelines as a consequence of this promise. But what I think they hope to do and what they will be doing by launching military strikes, even if they're limited, is that they will unalterably commit the United States military to securing the outcome that the Obama administration has desired from the beginning since it began fueling the civil war 2.5 years ago. And that is the overthrow of the Assad government. Assad is strong right now. The Syrian state is strong. The rebels' initiative has waned. Their popular support has dissipated. The people who live under the control of the rebels, rebel-controlled areas, don't like the rebels. And so the Obama administration realizes, and this is where the lobby for the war came from, that minus direct U.S. military intervention, 2 or 3 years from now, the Assad government will have prevailed. For the empire, for the United States, which seeks and pursues a policy of empire in this oil-rich region where two-thirds of the world's oil is, it would be a big black eye that one of the smaller countries could have successfully defied the United States when Obama said, Assad, you must go, when John Kerry said, Assad must go, or his predecessor, Hillary Clinton. Assad has defied the empire. His success stands as a challenge to the empire, and the empire functions as all empires do. They don't and can't tolerate any sort of success against them. So what we're really seeing is the escalation of the United States participation as a direct military participant in the Syrian war, the domestic, you might call it a civil war, although it's been fueled by outside forces. And I believe that once having taken this step, it leads to the road of greater and greater escalation. That's why we have to stop it now. The American people don't want it. Your other guest is right. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. The British House of Commons voted no, but Obama won't even bring it to the Congress. He says he's consulting Congress and giving a redacted version of the evidence to the American people. But only Congress can legally declare war in the United States. Even George W. Bush at least tried to get congressional approval before his war of aggression in Iraq. Obama is so isolated on this, but nonetheless racing ahead to engage the American military. And once engaged, I believe it will remain engaged and escalate in terms of its own involvement.
And of course, the isolation is pretty much widespread. Right now, the United States, Frederick Peterson, is in the great company of the Arab League, the OIC, Turkey, France, and Australia. Because we know what happened with UK and the House of Commons, that this was didn't get the vote of confidence. Now, what's interesting over here, Frederick Peterson, and please, I'd like to use your experience there in the Army, U.S. Army, is that President Obama has said this is a shot across the bow. I don't know what that means, but he said, if we are saying in a clear and decisive but very limited way, we send a shot across the bow saying, stop doing this, that can have a positive impact on U.S.'s national security. Do you believe that?
Well, my experience, I should note, was in the Marine Corps, not in the Army.
I apologize.
And yet, that's quite all right. It's very interesting, our family gatherings, because we have members of all services, and there's a inter-service rivalry there. However, I should say Obama has noted and very unwisely publicly addressed a red line, this use of chemical weapons. I don't see this as a red line at all. I see it as an ego line. An ego line has been crossed. And I should say, in terms of the chemical weapons that supposedly, allegedly, are being used to justify an unjustifiable proposed act of war, is far from proven. Far from proven, and certainly we will not have proof of this either in the affirmative or in the negative before the proposed action takes place. So this would seem to add further evidence to the ego line rather than the red line that has been crossed. If President Obama thinks that he is going to use this to enhance his standing among the American people, let alone among the world community, I think he has made a very, very sad and costly, I should add, mistake. I think that your other guest, Brian, was very correct in noting that Assad has increased his power and the rebel movement has been fractured, has internecine struggles going on within it. And it's far from certain as to whether and who would prevail were Assad to be overthrown. But the point that I want to make from a military as well as from a policy perspective is to telegraph your proposed actions well in advance and to have them antiseptically launched from hundreds and hundreds of miles away is extremely provocative. It is of limited duration, does not direct itself toward a victory or toward a policy objective in any way. It merely underscores the ego argument that I was bringing out before. And I certainly hope that no country would base their policy on ego. They should be based on sound, solid moral principles. I really have not heard those from this regime. There have been terrible, terrible atrocities committed by both sides in this. And to engage a third leg of a triangle here and offering an additional, what I would see as an atrocity, is highly unadvised. And I certainly hope the president reconsiders before he launches.
Well, let's go with this notion of ego, Frederick Peterson. I'm looking at our wall here. I see the Saudi king there, and of course, Bandar Sultan. Perhaps those egos are involved also, not to mention Turkey's ego, Brian Becker. If we were just to go with this line of ego that Frederick Peterson talks about, is it the ego that Obama is so worried about that is going to be a loss if he doesn't prevail in Syria based on Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah in some ways to have prevailed? And that is what the U.S. does not want. They want to make sure that appearing still to have a foothold militarily in the region and, of course, in the larger picture, to be this military superpower.
Well, there is ego and opportunism and ego. The two are conflated in this case. Just as Obama knew that they couldn't win the war in Afghanistan, he sent he doubled and tripled the number of troops into Afghanistan so that he wouldn't be personally held responsible for the apparent setback or military defeat causing the Americans to withdraw from Afghanistan. So in order to pave the way for the eventual withdrawal, he first had to show that he was tough and not have to take responsibility. He sent many people to their death so that the U.S. Political leaders could avoid taking responsibility for a military defeat, and a defeat that they knew they could not overcome. I think in the case of Syria, Obama sort of glibly used the term red line because he was still part of the camp inside the U.S. government that was actually hoping not to be engaged in Syria directly. There have been cheerleaders for direct military intervention, Kerry before him, Hillary Clinton. There's, of course, the military-industrial complex that always profits from every new military adventure. There is the right-wing militarist wing. Obama seemed to have some restraint, but he said, well, if there's a red line, the red line will be chemical weapons. Well, of course, that just meant that it would be an easy way to cross that red line because you can have a staged provocation, and I believe we'll learn that this chemical weapon attack, if it happened on August 21st, was in fact a staged provocation, either by the rebels or Mossad or some other covert operation. It certainly wouldn't have been in the Assad government's interest. And then the Obama administration is confronted with the reality. Okay, Syria crossed the red line. What does it do? If Obama does nothing, he appears to be weak. His critics, who are always accusing him of being weak, have another card to play with. He has no allies. What does he do? So I believe that Obama has a personal motivation, yes, to be able to show that he is tough and he's sticking to his words and he's being sort of prompted into this position. But I don't think that's what's really driving U.S. policy. If you look at Iraq, if you look at Libya, and now Syria, and also the threats against Hezbollah in Lebanon and the Iranian regime, the enduring policy of the United States is to take down and destroy, either by sanctions or war or a combination of the two, independent nationalist governments who owe their existence to the anti-colonial projects of the past decades, who broke free from the West. And the U.S. wants to basically make the Middle East, the new Middle East, look very much like the old Middle East. In other words, a colonial-type sphere of influence. And to that end, U.S. policymakers, including the CIA, including the Pentagon, using a variety of tactics, not just military, but a variety of tactics, are seeking to create a Middle East where all of the governments are either too weak, the countries are too weak or too fractured, or they're run by puppet governments or proxy governments. And I think that's the underlying objective of U.S. policy. And so while there is ego, while there is opportunism, there is this fundamental strategic thrust of U.S. policy in this very resource-rich, geostrategically important region of the world.
Very well. We're going to have to end it there. Thank you very much. From Answer Coalition, Brian Becker talking to us from Washington. Also, Congressional Defense Policy Advisor Frederick Peterson spoke to us from Boston.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Do send us any comments, questions, or even suggestions. Newsroom@presstv.ir is our email address. From Mikhail Tehwe and the team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.
Say publicly, state their position.